Hello. Thank you for joining us today on the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. During the Feast of Tabernacles, we naturally look forward to the Kingdom of God, a time after the return of Jesus Christ. This kingdom will be a kingdom of righteousness, as it will be established on the righteousness that is Jesus Christ and God our Father. Calling God our Father should make us think of family, and in the very first place of time as recorded in the Bible, there was only the Word and God, with the Word also being God. In this place in the Bible, we have the Word God and God whom we think of as God our Father. Through the Word, all things were made. The Word who was with God and God who we know as God our Father were in the very beginning a very small family. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Later in John, it is easy to see that the Word became Jesus Christ. Angels were created and the demons fell away, and within the family of God, there was still the Word who was with God and God who we know as God our Father. Still a very small family. Then, God decided to make man after their image and likeness, and the original Hebrew for God is Elohim, a plural of the Hebrew word, because in the beginning was the Word who was God, who was also with God, and the God whom we know as God our Father. So God created mankind and gave mankind dominion over the earth. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." In creating mankind, there was the family of God and the family of man. During the time of Noah, God sought to destroy mankind because of the wickedness of man. During the time of Abraham, God sought to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins. And God knew that Abraham would become a great and mighty nation, bringing a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Unlike Sodom and Gomorrah, God knew that Abraham and his family would do what God expected. Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Much later in the history of mankind, we come to a man named Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, who was a devout man, and along with his entire house, feared God, giving alms to the people, and being constant in prayer. God brought a vision to Cornelius, where an angel told Cornelius that his prayers and alms have gotten the attention of God. Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. In writing to the Ephesians, Paul names God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It was Paul's desire that the Ephesians be strengthened through the Holy Spirit to know the love of Christ, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The whole family in heaven and earth is named after God our Father. In the kingdom of God, it will be easy for all to see the familial nature of God. Family is so huge with God that within human families, God expected there to be honor given to parents, giving us the basis for one of the commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor is to be given to the parents as the first commandment with promise, and parents are not to provoke children to anger, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents have the responsibility to diligently teach their children about the ways of God at all times of the day, wherever the family may be. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. In writing to the Colossians, Paul explained the role of members of the family, showing how children were to obey their parents and how parents were not to provoke their children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Proverbs tells children to keep close to their hearts what parents tell them, showing how this all leads to the way of life. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We also learn from Proverbs that the righteous do not trust in their riches, and it's implied that the righteous do not trouble their own house. Proverbs 11, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. Wisdom is to be pursued by all, knowing that a wise child brings joy to the family, and a foolish child acts in ways that show they despise their family. Proverbs 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. One way that we bring trouble to our house is by being greedy, always taking and never giving in return. We can never allow ourselves to be brought through bribery. Proverbs 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. If we seek honor, riches and life for ourselves, we will live a life of humility, having incredible respect for God. By focusing on what God expects of us, we will keep ourselves far from what can spiritually trip us up. And when it comes to children, we need to train them in the way they need to go, knowing if we do this correctly, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, if in the course of training up a child we provoke them to wrath, that is not training them in the way they should go. And when they are old, we should expect them to depart from how they were taught. One difference between an adult and child is their frustrational level. Adults are able to cope with greater challenges and expectations in their lives, and children are typically able to cope with far less challenges and expectations in their lives. When working with children, adults need to remember they are working with children who don't have the full level of understanding and life experiences as an adult. When the human family is done right and focuses on God and the righteousness of God, the mercy of God is unending, with the righteousness of God touching multiple generations, provided the family is doing what God expects, as God rules over all from heaven. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. When the human family is done right and focuses on God and the righteousness of God, children are the heritage of God and families are happy to have the children they have in their family. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Fearing God as a family begins with the parents fearing God. The husband who fears God will be seen as blessed, having a wife that does much for the family, having children who are seen as the blessing of the next generation. When families are right with God, there is generational consistency with the families, and even the nation will have peace. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall be the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Writing to wives, Peter told them to be in subjection to their husbands, giving a special note to husbands who are not part of the faith, that by living as God expects us, these husbands who are not part of the faith might see the value in living God's way of life. He gave the example of Sarah, who treated Abraham as her Lord, a position of honor. Husbands are likewise told to give honor to their wife. Today, that would be like wives as seeing their husband as a king and husbands seeing their wife as a queen. Collectively, the people of God are to come to the unity of the faith, having compassion on each other through courtesy, responding with a blessing when most would respond with a curse. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The hypocrisy of the priests was called out by God in Malachi because they dealt treacherously against the wife of their youth. Malachi 2, verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garments, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. In the kingdom of God, there will be no tolerance for hypocrisy or dealing treacherously against the wife. Family is central to what God is doing in bringing people to salvation, and attacks on the human family make it easier to bring attacks against the family of God. In Malachi, it was the priests who were called out for their hypocrisy and family matters. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, all are put on notice regarding how family is to be treated. First, Paul reminds Timothy of the need to care for God-fearing widows who have no other person to meet their needs. Paul then reminds Timothy that heads of households, in the example given by Paul, the husband, was to provide for his family, or he is worse than an unfaithful person. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. In the world today, we have many families living under the same roof, and many of these have difficulty providing for their own family. Paul isn't talking about self-sufficiency and slamming families receiving public benefits. Paul is talking about a head of household who ignores what is needed by a family member and voluntarily chooses not to provide what is needed, when there is a way to provide what is needed. Sometimes the head of household is so selfish, they focus on only their own needs and completely disregard what is needed by others. That is also a problem. In the kingdom of God, parents will take care of their children, and because righteousness will be part of everything that occurs, families will be able to provide for family needs without question. Looking at God our Father, we can see that God has bestowed love on us, that we should be called the children of God. And because God is loving us now as his children, we are becoming more and more like God by working hard to remove sin from our life. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Through Jesus Christ, we have our sins removed from us, and because we have had that need met through the family of God, we return love to the family of God by what we do. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. By focusing on doing what is righteousness in the eyes of God, we become righteous through that familial relationship with God our Father and Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. We know God considers us to be his children today, and by default, we also know we will be part of God's family in the kingdom of God as we do what is righteousness today, and also love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. As the children of God, we cannot be surprised that this world hates us, because it does not understand how we can be the children of God. Having the world hate us on the one hand, and having the brethren, our siblings in Christ, on the other, we must have love for each other. We can never have hatred for others who are called of God. John is very clear. If we hate others who are called of God, we will not be part of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there will be no hatred of any type between families. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Because Jesus lived his life and sacrificed his life so that we could have eternal life, we ought to live our lives as a living sacrifice for others who are also called, up to and including to share when we have an abundance and we see others who are called in need. We show our love not by the words we say, but what we do. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels in compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John isn't telling us to share what we don't have. John isn't telling us to not provide for our own family, so that we can share with others in need. John is telling us, as we have an abundance and we see others who are called in need, that we need to share. With variances in the cost of living from country to country, state to state, and city to city, no person can judge another person whether they truly be a person in need or if they truly be a person with an abundance to share. Yet we are told that we are to keep God's commandments, believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. If we are to be part of the family of God in righteousness and the kingdom of God, We must take action today. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. John's thoughts on family continue in the next chapter, showing how if we love one another, we are born of God, knowing God. God showed his love towards us by sending Jesus Christ to be the forgiveness for our sins. And if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We know we are to become perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. And in order to do that, we must love one another, acknowledging that God has sent love to us in the form of Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If we want to be part of the kingdom of God, knowing judgment is now on the house of God, we must love one another, letting nothing get in the way of the love we have for each other. Because when we have love for one another as God expects, we will have nothing to fear in our day of judgment. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Within the household of God, there is no distinction between native-born Israelite and Gentile. All of us have the same potential to be part of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Paul repeats the same concept with the Galatians, restating that all who are called, including Gentiles, can be an heir of the promise and see the kingdom of God. Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If we want to be part of the same family with Jesus, if we want to be part of the kingdom of God, we must do the will of God our Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. If we want to be the children of God, we must be led by the Spirit of God. And as children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. As joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we may need to suffer for the faith we have, knowing that we will also be glorified together in the kingdom of God. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If we want to be the children of God and be part of the kingdom of God, we must endure to the end and overcome all things. We cannot allow anything to overcome us. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We so look forward to the kingdom of God and want to be the children of God and part of the righteousness of family, the family of God. As we celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles, we celebrate the righteousness of family found within the family of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow again during the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.